Well, hello, everyone. This is Brandon, and this is the A-Bomb Energy Podcast, where we talk about everything automotive and sometimes life and sometimes military and geopolitical things, because most of you guys know I'm still active duty special operations, and so sometimes things bleed into each other, and we need to discuss everything, because in the society we live in right now, everything is interconnected, whether it is something in the food industry, whether it is something with the automotive industry. Those things are connected with each other, and everything has a butterfly effect. So that's why we have to stay vigilant. We have to stay on top of everything, because things like government regulations have, you know, they affect things within the automotive industry. They affect things within the food industry. They affect things within something as simple as the tech industry, you know, like a computer, just building a computer, something simple like that. Things are connected and things are affected by other aspects. One thing that you can always say to people whenever they don't really understand how the automotive community and why it's so important is look at every single thing around you. Every single thing around you was brought to you, and the ultimate destination was brought to your place or is in your hands because of something within the automotive industry. It's kind of a wild concept, and it's why the industry actually fascinates me so much, because everything we touch, everything we eat, everything around us was brought to us by something with a diesel engine or a internal combustion, gasoline-powered, petrol, whatever you want to call it, engine. It's fascinating to me. It's absolutely fascinating to me. And that's why I love the community so much, and that's why I love cars so much. I mean, it's one of the reasons, but today's topic is actually going to be on Stellantis. And, you know, Stellantis is one of these really interesting brands because they have a lot of really cool cars, and there's a weird hatred actually out there for Stellantis, and I don't fully understand it. I'm not a shill for the brand, but, you know, things like Alfa Romeo, I think those are actually kind of cool cars, and they get a ton of hate from people, and I get it to a certain degree. You know, they're not cars that you buy as a daily driver, and if they are a daily driver, it's a car that you have to understand is going to be very maintenance heavy. It's like people that buy BMWs and then bitch about it whenever it has issues, like something expensive on it breaks. It's like, well, dude, you bought a BMW. What were you expecting? Toyota level maintenance with a BMW? That's just not how it works. And there's a lot of people in the automotive industry, or just really people in general, are very misinformed on vehicles that they buy and the performance of those vehicles and what to expect out of those vehicles. It's like trying to buy a Toyota Corolla and expecting it to be a supercar. That's just not what it is. You buy a Toyota Corolla because you want it to be an A to B car that's going to reliably get you to A and B. The maintenance is going to be low, it's going to be cheap to operate on, and it's going to get really good fuel economy. That's why you buy a Toyota Corolla. It just blows my mind when people are like, oh, I would never buy a BMW, the maintenance is too expensive. Well, yeah, dude, like, it's a BMW. Or same thing with Mercedes or Porsche or whatever. That's the point of it. Like, you buy it for insane levels of performance, but the caveat with it is the maintenance is going to be up there on price, but have you ever driven like a BMW M3? Nothing drives like it. Nothing. It's incredible. Those vehicles are incredible, but they come with a hefty price tag, not just from the dealer, but with maintenance and all that stuff. And even simple things like an oil change is very expensive. So Stellantis gets tons of hate, and I get it. I get it to a certain degree. But what I find actually very interesting with the brand is their lack of awareness to their customer base. Jeep, for example, is under the Stellantis umbrella. And it's actually kind of a little side story here. I posted a TikTok about the Dodge Hornet and it got millions of views. And it's very funny that the amount of comments that are like, Dodge Hornet's not Dodge, it's Stellantis. Or Dodge Hornet isn't Dodge, it's Fiat. Dodge Hornet isn't Dodge, it's Alfa Romeo. There's always these jerks, there's always these know-it-alls that, oh, it's Stellantis, it's Fiat, it's Alfa, it's Chrysler, it's Dodge. It's like, dude, stop. Stop. If it's a Dodge Hornet, it's a Dodge product, all right? I get it, the full thing is actually kind of a Fiat. It's kind of a, you know, it's actually technically an Alfa Tonel or whatever it's called. It's technically that. All right, I get it. Okay. But it's like people that get like this little slight bit of knowledge and they just want to, oh, and they just freak out because they finally have something they can say, which is actually great for views. So I'm not hating on that. They've just boosted by saying that stupid shit. All they did was just boost the view count. So go for it. I'm happy with that. No problems here. But it's very interesting because that video got millions of views and tons of love and tons of hate. And there's a weird hatred actually for the Dodge Hornet. I'm not fully understanding of it. People that have never driven the Dodge Hornet absolutely hate the vehicle. And a lot of people that I've talked to on TikTok and on YouTube and Facebook and all that and Instagram, they've hit me up and they're like, hey, the Dodge Hornet's actually kind of a sick vehicle. It's got a ton of power and it drives really well and the interior's nice. And I'm like, oh, really? Interesting. Do you own one? And a bunch of people are like, yeah, I own one. So I don't know. Maybe it's like the marketing crisis that happened with Stellantis. I guess we'll just say, you know, overall umbrella Stellantis with the marketing of the Dodge Hornet. But I, to be honest with you, I've never seen a Dodge Hornet ad. I think maybe I've seen one, but I don't remember it. I don't really see ads anyways, but maybe I've seen one. But that's just how unremarkable it is. You know, I can tell you about the Dodge Hellcat. You know, like the Challenger Hellcat commercials. I could tell you about those. I could tell you about the SRTs. I could tell you about the Gladiators. I could tell you about the Wrangler commercials I've seen, BMW commercials I've seen. I can't tell you the last time I saw a Dodge Hornet, if I've ever even seen one, a Dodge Hornet commercial or an ad or anything like it. I first heard about it actually from Car Edge, from the boys over there, Ray and... Is it Tyler? Ray? I always mess the names up. But the boys over there at Car Edge, I mean, those guys are great. They were talking about the Dodge Hornet. But it's just the failure of Stellantis. And Stellantis is failing as a brand. I mean, right now they have, I think they've laid off 4,000 employees globally. And they're getting ready to lay off more, from my understanding. And they've gotten a ton of subsidies from the Italian government, which I think you guys know at this point, I am very anti-subsidy. I'm very anti-subsidy. I think if you have a great product, you shouldn't need to be subsidized by the taxpayer. That's bullshit. That's not free economics. Let the market decide where the product is going to go. If the product is shit, the market will say, hey, you know what? This product is shit and it's not going to sell well. If the product's great, you shouldn't need subsidies. It's kind of like companies that don't offer returns on stuff. If you don't offer a return on a product or you don't have some sort of guarantee with your product, then that means you don't believe in your product and you think it's shit. So why are we subsidizing this stuff? You know, the part I struggle the most with subsidies too is why in the fuck are they taking this money and then still delivering a shit product and still delivering a product that is still insanely expensive and the prices keep increasing. The maintenance is expensive. And like, what do they give you? Like two free oil changes with the warranty, yet they just got like billions of dollars from the federal government. Like, get fucked. No. We're not. Why should we be giving you all this money with no strings attached, by the way? Not like, hey, you know what? We're going to give you $500 million, like in the case with, or $400 million in the case with Stellantis, and you have to build a battery factory for electric vehicles. But don't worry about, you know, making sure that people get a good product. Just here's the money for the factory. No, it should be, hey, bitch, you're going to get $400 million, which, again, this would never happen if I was in charge. But if it's going to be like that, hey, you're going to get $400 million, but you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to provide a quality product. You're going to have to give a 10-year warranty on your product, or like an 8-year warranty or something to match or beat the competition, like BYD's 8-year warranty, 150,000 kilometers. It has to be that or better. Then you have to give it at a competitive price. I don't care how you have to do it. Get it done. Drive the innovation that way. Instead, they just blanket give these companies all this money. And like right now, Stellantis still owes the Italian government $400 million because that battery factory plant they got the loan for, they canceled it. They're not building it anymore. And it's the same way with Ford. You look at Ford, for example. They got in 2022 or 2023, they got like $9 billion, over $9 billion to build three factories for their vehicles. And what did they do with that money? They built one factory. The Blue Oval City. The other two, they just said, fuck it. We're not going to do that. Why did you get $9 billion then? What happened to the other? What happened to the rest of that money? I guarantee you that money that was earmarked for those other two factories, they just either kept it because the parameters that these companies get from these like Department of Energy backed loans, and I'm sure with the Italian government with Stellantis, it's the same way. But these loans these companies get, they get it for these fucking crazy good deals. They get the deals they get are insane. It's not a competitive loan because no, look, ask yourself this. Why are these companies going to the federal government of the nations, of the prospective nations that they're in? Why are they going to the federal government of these countries to get these loans? Here's a hint. Because a bank isn't going to do it. The bank is like, fuck you. We're not going to give you $9 billion. We're not going to give you $400 million for a product that, number one, we don't believe in. Number two, we don't think has a future. And number three, your company's not turning a profit. Number four, you're laying off thousands of employees. Why would we give you this loan? But for some reason, these governments around the world are just like, hey, yeah, you need a billion. Here's a billion. You get a billion. You get a billion. Like, this is insane to me. And it's because these companies, they're shit. They're not good companies. Most automotive companies, in my opinion, are awful. They're not good companies. There's very few companies that I buy from now. I've actually had a big wake-up call lately when it comes to buying certain car brands at this point, because I'm so tired of the level of corruption within these car companies. I'm so tired of the crappy products that these companies are putting out. And I'm really tired of them taking advantage of the taxpayer in two ways. One, taking their money without consent. Number two, then selling the product back to the taxpayer and it's not a good product. I have massive problems with that. And I'm honestly just sick of it. And so there's very few companies I buy from now. They're foreign brands, by the way. They're not American brands. I want to buy American brands, by the way. I would love to buy, a Ford or a Chevy or a Jeep product, which Jeep isn't even American anymore, but I would love to buy these brands, but I just can't. I can't morally do it. And so we look at, Stellantis, for example. Are they even going to exist in the next 5 years? Probably. They probably will exist. I know there's a ton of people out there that I watch in the automotive industry. They're making these big deals about how Stellantis is failing and they've laid off all these employees and blah, 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 blah. All right, I get it. I get where you're coming from. But a lot of it is sensationalized and they're making it seem like the world is being turned inside out. Look, these companies are probably still going to exist purely based on the fact that they are subsidized by the federal government of their prospective nation that they're in. If it was free market, they wouldn't exist at all. Same thing with like BYD or Geely or Chery or any of these other Chinese automakers out there. They wouldn't exist if they weren't being subsidized by their prospective government. That's just the reality of the situation. That's one reason why I hate electric cars, because it's not real. It's not a actual product. It's all of them have been subsidized. So I can't even imagine where the market would be at this point if they were not subsidized. I think they would actually be way more innovative at this point if they were allowing, software engineers and actual like mechanical engineers and electrical engineers to do their work and actually have more of an incentive and not realize, hey, we have this big ass safety net here called the government that's going to protect us if we fail. I just don't understand how other people don't see that. It's like when you're a kid and you're given money, right? Or you're given a product. Let's say your dad bought you a bicycle, right? And he just gives it to you. Are you going to treat it the same as if you worked for it and you bought it yourself? Let's say you get up every morning and you're doing a paper route or you're doing chores or you're working on a farm or you're doing something where you're actually having to sacrifice and give things up to purchase that bicycle. You're going to treat it way better if you've purchased it yourself. The concept applies to getting free money from other companies. It's like with my energy drink business that I run, A-Bomb Energy. I don't accept investors right now, and I don't take loans right now because I want to invest my money first. I want to go through the pain. I want to go through the struggle of having to be very, very critical on how every single dollar is spent, and I want to have complete control, and I don't want to answer to anyone. The same concept should apply to companies like Stellantis and Ford and GM and all that. They should want to do things on their own. And they can do things on their own, by the way. They just like getting this free money because it's like getting a loan for a car. I have a loan on my BMW, for example. Could I pay my BMW off right now? Absolutely. Why would I, though? I can risk someone else's money right now because I can afford it. The rate's fine. It's not a big deal. And I can afford it. Can I pay it off? Yeah. But these car companies are taking the same approach. I mean, I think General Motors right now is cranking out $238 billion, I think. Is it $23 billion? I think it's $238 billion. It's some crazy billion-dollar number where they are cranking out and they're betting basically the entire company of General Motors on electric vehicles. And Mary Barra is a retard, by the way. She thinks she is so intelligent and she's going to just save General Motors whenever they don't realize. Guess what, General Motors? People buy your products, especially like the V8 products, you know, just like a pushrod V8, you know, standard V8 product. People buy those products because they lasted a long time. The products you're putting out now, they don't last. And you're just driving people now to want Chinese cars. You're driving people to other competition. You know, you're building so much of your products in China right now. You think you're being fucking slick right now by you know, building like the Buick and, you know, some of your Chevy products in China and shipping them over. People are going to start... People are going to start realizing what you're doing, and they're probably not going to support it. And especially whenever the build quality is low, like with the Buick, it's a low quality build vehicle. It's just the reality of the situation. Is it nice? Like, does it look nice? Does it look nice on the interior? Sure. But if you actually get to the nuts and bolts of it, it's not a well-built vehicle. That's just the reality. And it's unfortunate because, you know, these iconic brands like GM and Buick and, you know, Pontiac and all that, they used to be so awesome. And now they're just like, they're not even a shell of what they used to be. It's actually quite depressing. One of the vehicles I used to really want was the C7 or a C8 Corvette, man. I wanted those vehicles for so long. I can't tell you how long I wanted it. And after I started really studying these companies more, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. I couldn't pull the trigger on it. And it was a bummer. And so I said, you know what? I'll find something that maybe is a little bit different. And so it just happenstance when I was in Germany, got inside a BMW and I drove it and I was like, whoa, this drives better than a Corvette. And it feels faster than a Corvette. Okay. So then I got a BMW M340i and I'll tell you what, super happy with it. And, you know, sure, BMWs have a lot of problems with their company and the engineering, but the B58 motor that I have in that thing right now is pretty damn solid. Big fan of that, actually. But that's kind of the way of the road sometimes with these companies. And, you know, I think a lot of the failures with companies like Stellantis and really a lot of the automotive industry companies out there right now, they don't realize that life is war. Everything we do is war, whether it's, you know, violent or nonviolent or economic or whatever. Everything is war. Whenever I'm building my companies, I'm at war with these other companies. I mean, here's an example. Whenever I went to for the energy drink company or the, you know, the YouTube channel that we run, A-Bomb Energy, car reviews and stuff like that, where we do these documentaries on cars, when I flew to Costa Rica to get my hands on these electric vehicles, I treated that like a military operation. I treated going there and talking to people like I was at war, not in a sense of, hey, you know, we're going to go out and commit acts of violence, or we're going to do night raids and tag and bag and all that stuff. No. I treated it like an intelligence operation where I was going there talking to the people, and it was a war mission for me. And I treated it like a special operations mission. And you know what? It worked because I succeeded in getting a ton of really good information, met a ton of really cool people, talked to a lot of smart people that I'm now friends with and that I communicate with. But I treated it like it was a actual operation. These companies, I feel, that are out there right now, these automotive companies, they've lost that drive. They don't feel like they're at war anymore. I think because they've been getting so many subsidies at this point, they feel they don't need to act like that anymore. And they need a fire lit under their ass. And that's why sometimes I think it would be a good idea to have a controlled release of Chinese vehicles in the United States, because it would at least drive some sort of incentive for these American brands or really legacy auto brands to start, you know, getting their ass in gear and start focusing on building a quality product for a decent price. But I know what's going to come with that. And so I think if it was to happen, it would need to be a very, very slow and controlled release, and there needs to be a cap to it. Because I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a lot of stuff that I'm going to cover in the documentary that's going to explain why. But yeah, that's a big problem with these companies. They're not hungry. That warrior mentality in them is just gone. And, you know, for you to win, you need to realize, like, you have to want to win. You have to be driven and you have to be super fucking motivated if you want to win. And it doesn't mean you need to get loud. It doesn't need to mean you have to, you know, curse or do anything like that. You know, for me, that's how I operate. You know, sometimes I have two different modes. I have, you know, the silent professional where I'm observing, I'm looking, I'm listening, I'm smelling, I'm feeling, I'm getting a sense of my environment. But then there's the savage warrior in me that just comes out and nothing's going to stop me. I've talked about this before where I use things like dark energy, where people have doubted me, people have pissed me off in the future, people have said things to me that have just been super fucked up. And guess what? That's motivation right there. That's fuel. I love it when people come after me like that. I absolutely love it because I look at them and I look at their life and I analyze them and I'm just like, you know, you're kind of a bitch, actually. But you know what? Please keep saying these things to me, because the more I continue to grow as not only as a person, but as a company, and I start moving things forward and I'm constantly moving the ball forward, I'm going to make sure I let you know in a very subtle way, but I'm going to let your ass know that I'm pushing forward. And you're still far behind. And you know what? You're going to be so far behind, I'm not even going to be able to see you. That's the killer level instinct that people need to adopt. Not just in the automotive industry, but just in life in general. You know, if you're fat and you want to unfat yourself, you need to have that type of mentality. You know, if you're fat right now, look, I've been there. I've been obese, man. I was a fat piece of shit at one point in my life. And I've gone through cycles where I've gained weight and lost weight. If you're fat right now and you want to unfat, go to your pantry, take everything that you have in there, go into your fridge, take everything you have in there that's unhealthy for you and not good for you, and throw it in the fucking trash. Just decide right now. That's what you want to do. Same thing with the automotive industry. If you're an executive, you're some corporate fuck. That's what I call a lot of these people in corporate positions that have this big title, big salary, but they don't do anything. I call them corporate fucks. They know how to send emails. They know how to hold meetings for meetings. But they can say a lot without saying anything. I'll tell you right now, I have a rule with my company. Whenever I get to the point where I need to hire people, which I have a couple of people that I hire, you know, on contractual basis and stuff like that. But I hire them because I like them and they do a good job and they're honest with me. If I ask you a question, right? Think about this. Everyone that's worked in the corporate world, which I have, or has worked in the office environment world, which I have. Think about a time when you've gone up to someone and you've asked them a simple question like, "Hey man, did you get that account that we need to for the quarterly meeting? Did you get the fucking roll up on that account yet?" "Well, see, you know, I was going through all these numbers and I was doing this," and instead they give you this fucking runaround. I will fire someone immediately on the spot, especially if they use buzzwords. Like if I'm in a meeting somebody is talking about their performance about something and they're like, "Yeah, you know, I really nested my objectives and really seeded my efforts with, you know, X company, and we really collaborated and achieved desired effects." You say that stuff to me, you're fucking fired. And the problem is, in the corporate world right now, there's a ton of people that speak like that. And it's because they just want to sound smart. Look, you don't need to use buzzwords to sound smart. And you look at the automotive industry right now, listen to a statement. Listen to a statement from someone like Mary Barra. It's awful to listen to. She's saying shit without saying shit. Like, it's very rare she says something and I'm like, "Okay, I understand what you're saying now. You're not just talking out of your ass." Sorry to get a little sip of water. I've been sick for a couple of weeks. But that's a problem. And so you have this like constant like feedback loop of people saying stuff and nothing's actually being done. And that's why we're in the state that we're in right now. That's one of the reasons. You know, there's too many people in these big bloated companies like Stellantis. Like, I think General Motors is firing 1,000 people. Most of them are in the United States. But they're firing 1,000 people in total globally, which for a company like General Motors, it's quite a bit of people. But in reality, it's not that much. But the majority of people that are being fired are corporate people. And, you know, it sucks. I hate that you're losing your job. Like, I don't want anyone to lose their job. But if you were that effective at your job, you probably wouldn't be getting fired. It's just a reality. Like, I've been in positions when I worked in the civilian world, when I used to be in the Army Reserve. But I worked in positions where layoffs needed to happen, but because I was so good at my job, they didn't fire me. They figured out a way to keep me on board because I was so effective at my job. And a lot of these people that get laid off from these companies, there's a reason you're getting laid off. You're deemed unnecessary. And that is probably one of the worst feelings that you could probably ever have as an employee. It's to feel unnecessary. I've been in positions where I literally was not allowed to do my job. Like, no, I was prevented from doing my job from everyone around me and from bosses and every single thing that could be going against me. I was prevented from doing my job. And if I did my job, I was going to get in trouble. That's a shitty feeling. That's a very shitty feeling. And coping with that was very difficult. It's because it legitimately, if I did my job at the time, I would have gotten in trouble. And this is in the military, by the way. Not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling to have. And in the civilian world, I don't know if these corporate guys are in that kind of situation. I highly, highly doubt it. You have to think about it. A lot of people show up to work and they figure out ways to not work. You know, I see it all the time. You know, in back when I worked in the civilian world, I saw it. Oh my goodness, I saw it more there than in the military. People just want to get a paycheck and they want to do everything they can to work the least amount as possible. And it's actually a really sad way to live because you're not really living at that point if that's how you live. And you're the self-gratification that you're going to get from that is nothing. It's empty. It's not going to be there. And so you have to really make a decision in your life. Especially when you're going through hard times and you don't want to do anything, you have to make that decision. I'm going to push forward whether I like it or not, because think about it. I used to say this to guys in the military all the time back when I used to train people. You know, I think most of you guys know I'm a special operations guy. I used to say, look, do you think your adversary that is rocking his AK-47 to sleep every night and visualizing in his head, do you think this guy is worried about a headache? Do you think this guy is worried about, you know, am I going to get a massage next week? Or, you know, what's going to be happening with my car? Just something simple. Do you think these guys are worried about menial problems like that? No. These guys that are rocking their AK-47 to sleep every night, visualizing killing you, even with their bare hands, you have to understand they don't take days off. And you know what? If they do, it's probably not for long. And you have to visualize in your head as the warrior that your enemy never takes a day off. Never. And they're constantly working to figure out ways to improve themselves, get better, because the better you get, the more effective you get, the more effective you get, the more results you're going to see. People don't want to, they don't want to accept that reality. They're just like, you know, I can feel good today. I'm going to take the day off. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. It's not an effective way to live. And people in these corporate fucks that are in these companies, I guarantee you that's how they live. Oh man, I got a case of the Mondays. All right. Okay. Do you think these Chinese workers have the case of the Mondays? Do you think the BYD CEO, that ravenous female who is probably raging out on freaking hentai and all that stuff every night, do you think she's really worried about how she feels? She's probably trying to figure out a way to dominate legacy automakers right now. Oh, wait, she is. And these legacy automakers right now are just sitting on their ass. And they're betting their money on stupid shit right now that's not going to matter. And, oh, by the way, companies like Ford are funding, you know, their competition right now by buying a ton of their batteries from CATL, a Chinese battery manufacturer right now. So good job, Ford. You're really figuring it out. So it's just an interesting time we live in right now, and I'm actually pretty damn concerned about the U.S. and really legacy automakers right now. You know, I'm not too concerned about these companies laying off a bunch of people. That could be a temporary thing that they're doing. We still don't have all the full details on that, but they're not going anywhere. They're too heavily subsidized right now, and tariffs right now that are being applied are going to protect them. But we have to understand, like, they're not going anywhere in the near future, but in the long term, yeah, they could be definitely disappearing, especially if Chinese cars enter the U.S. market. That's it, man. Legacy automakers are done at that point. I give them their, I mean, Chrysler right now is already breathing its last breath right now. They're on death rattles. So just think, look at Chrysler. Apply that to all the other brands right now, and that's where they're headed. So that's it for the podcast. I'm not going to censor this one out, man. I'm not going to bleep any curse words or anything like that. This is how I talk most of the time. One of my favorite words is fuck. So this is just normal me. This is normal Brandon, by the way. Hyped up, ready to go. I'm not toning myself down anymore because I'm amped up, man, and I'm ready to win. So that's it. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and I am out of here. Have a great day, and I appreciate all the support you guys give me.